You are listening to the SCC Cast, weekly teaching and preaching from Springview Community Church. Find us on the web at www.springviewcc.org. We are located at 12881 Andersonville Road in Davisburg, Michigan. We welcome you to come as you are to experience a friendly worship setting with biblical preaching, teaching, and application. Now, here's our guest speaker.
Now, it's good to be here. And we want to talk this morning about celebrating. And so on the way over, Jane and I, my wife is here with me today, we made a list of things people celebrate. And it's a good long list. Now, I want to see how many of these things on my list you can mention. So I want this to be orderly. I want you to raise a hand and say something people celebrate. Okay? Something people celebrate. So raise a hand. I'll get to you. Yes, sir.
Birth of a child.
Got that one. Very good. Yes, sir. Birthdays, got that one. Very good. Friday was our 45th wedding anniversary. And now we can say we got married the same day as Taylor Swift. Yes. 4th of July, exactly. Yes, ma'am. Adoption. Didn't have that one. Very good.
Christmas.
Christmas, got that. Very good.
Easter.
Good health. President's Day. Excellent. Graduations, all kind of graduate. We celebrate preschool graduations. Yes, got that one. You know about that one, do you? Yes. New birth. We got that one. Yes.
Promotions.
Got that one. My wife did most of these. I said, don't write that one. She said that one, too. She did. What else? Things you say? Yes, sir.
Celebration of life.
Celebration of life, absolutely.
Sometimes at the end of life.
Yes, we got that one. I think that's a great one.
Father's Day.
We missed that one. Mother's Day, missed that one too. How could we miss those? Valentine's. You know, I wanted to put on here calling Pastor Jack to come preach. We'd celebrate. I didn't put that on there. I thought that would be a little, you know, inappropriate. Let me see what you didn't get so far. Let's see. You know, nobody mentioned World Cup victories. Nobody mentioned that. Sports is a big, huge category that we included here. Attaining a weight loss goal. Yay. Moving. Buying a house, selling a house, winning the lottery. None of you mentioned that. But I will celebrate with you if you win the lottery. And my last name is spelled G as in good. Make checks out. We'll be happy to celebrate with you. Successful surgeries. Being declared cancer-free. Baptisms. You had one recently. You had baptisms, I know. Rain. Nobody mentioned rain. But if you're into farming, boy, when you go a while without rain, gotta have rain. Snow. Nobody mentioned snow, but if you own a ski resort, Yes. Sunshine. It's a simple thing, but around about the middle of February, sunshine. Getting your driver's license. Nobody mentioned that one. Getting a hole in one. Anybody here in that category? You've had a hole? Yes, you celebrated. You were happy about that. Getting a puppy. Oh, man. Turn with me in your Bibles this morning to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. I want to talk to you this morning about celebrating. And if I can have the PowerPoint on the screen, then we can celebrate that. When technology works, we didn't mention that one. Oh boy, it worked before the service, so I'm hoping it'll work now. I've heard it said that we celebrate what we value. We celebrate what we value. I think that's true. I think, yes, I'm thank you, ma'am. Thank you. To celebrate, generally speaking, according to the dictionary, is to honor, to praise, or show joyful satisfaction. We celebrate things that we perceive to be good or beneficial to me. Now, when I asked about things to celebrate, nobody mentioned going to the dentist. My wife would think about that, though. Her father was a dentist, and she grew up loving going to the dentist. She's special. None of you mentioned going to work. We celebrate what we value. Achievements, accomplishments, and typically it involves clapping and joyfulness and festivities and gathering with other people. In our culture, athletics and sports is so pervasive with celebrating. I had pondered seriously getting 5 or 6 volunteers up here this morning to show me how they celebrate when their team scores a winning goal or a penalty. You know who those fanatics are, right? They just, boy, they go crazy. We celebrate. We all like to celebrate when good things happen to us. Well, I want to take a little look at a celebration this morning in the Bible. And it's very well known to you. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. And I want to read a couple verses here. And this morning we're going to look at some stuff in Exodus 12, 13, 14. The question is, who wants to celebrate? And deep down, my conviction is we all do. Because we all want good things to happen in our lives. And God wants us to celebrate. Pick it up in verse 1, Exodus chapter 12. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, "This month is to be for you the first month of your year." Now, just this week, I noticed this verse. This is so important from God's perspective that he said to Moses, he said, this is going to mark being the first month in your calendar from now on. And this is going to be the beginning of the year for you from now on. This is a big deal to God. Verse 3. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people there are. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The animals you choose, notice, must be year-old males without defect. Down to verse 12. On the same night, I will pass through Egypt and I will strike down every firstborn, both men and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. This is a day you are to commemorate. For the generations to come, you will celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance. You will celebrate it for generations to come. Father, we ask that you would open our minds and our hearts today to hear what you have for us and to understand in fresh and new ways how you love us and care for us and want us to celebrate you and the way that you work in our lives. And we ask you to minister to each one in a special way today in Christ's name. Amen. This celebration, many people think, and I do too, that this is the most significant celebration in the Old Testament. I don't think it was the first celebration in the Bible. Who knows what the first celebration in the Bible is? What's the very first celebration in the Bible? Genesis 2. Who said that? You got it. Adam was all alone, and God created Eve. Ladies, this is to applaud you in great ways. And God brought Eve to Adam, and Adam said what? Wow! Someone like me, but different, to partner, to unity, to share purpose in life, to give more meaning to my life. I think that was the first celebration. But this one, God put his stamp on this and said, you celebrate this for generations to come. So I want to talk to you about the celebration. This celebration. Exodus is very familiar to you, I'm sure. The context, briefly, is the children of Israel had been in bondage for how long? 400 years. I think that's a long time. 400 years. And God spoke to Moses in the wilderness. Moses goes to Pharaoh, says to Pharaoh, God sent me here, let these people go. Pharaoh said, sure, whatever you want. No. Pharaoh said, not going to happen. And Moses said, well, you know, God's going to do something. And we have this thing called a plague. How many plagues were there? 10 altogether. And every one of those plagues was aimed at showing to all the people the superiority of Yahweh over all the other gods that were being worshipped during that time. Every single one of them. And Pharaoh continues to say no. And Exodus 12, verse 12, is God talking about the 10th plague, which is going to be the last plague and the most serious. What I find fascinating here that I realized this week that I hadn't seen before is that God told the people to celebrate before it happened. You're going to celebrate this, and it hadn't happened yet. But regularly, every year following, this was to be celebrated. Verse 12, I'm going to pass through Egypt. I'm going to strike down every firstborn. But if you will put blood on the doorpost, sacrifice a lamb, put the blood on the doorpost, and you will be exempt. Fascinating to me, this is the only one of the plagues that there was a way to avoid its consequence. There was a way for them to avoid the consequence. All they had to do was to believe and obey. Mark that down. Believe and obey. In verse 14, God says, this is a day you are to commemorate for the generations to come. You will celebrate it. The word here means an active worship. Actually, the Hebrew word means to go in a circle. I read that and I thought, what was a move in a circle? What in the? Because in that time period, one of the ways they celebrated was to dance in a circle. It was to be a joyous, joyous event. To be giddy, to be so happy, to have a feast. We celebrated yesterday with our family, and we cooked some things on the grill, and nobody got overly giddy over what I prepared or what my wife prepared, but we enjoyed it, and we made sure we took some time, a little bit at least, to say, this is what we're celebrating. God said, you're to celebrate this. But for those who didn't believe and take action, imagine what it would be like the day after to explain your rationale to a grieving mother and father why you didn't take action. A few years ago, I looked at my motorcycle. Nobody said getting a motorcycle, celebrate that. Nobody mentioned that. I forgot to put that on our list, dear. I'm sorry. And I looked at the bike, and on the side of the tires, there was some cracking. Okay? Anybody know what that's called when your tires? Dry rot, yes. And I looked at that, and a friend of mine said, you should get these tires replaced. And I thought, there's a lot of tread on these tires. Aren't that many miles? But because the bike was older and hadn't been ridden some years before I got it, and I thought, man, I really don't, you know, that'd be maybe $400 to $500 to get two new tires. And I'm not sure I really need to do that. And then I had this thought. Let's suppose a few weeks later, my son, who was in his mid-20s at the time and was enjoying riding the bike, that he went out for a ride and a tire blew. You don't celebrate that on a motorcycle because it likely would put you in the hospital, right? And so I had this vision, a vision of going to the hospital and visiting my son with two broken legs and a cracked wrist and bandages, and, you know, very grateful he survived. And he looks at me and he says, yeah, he said, one of the tires blew, and down I went. There's nothing I could do. And I look at him and I say, you know, I thought about replacing those tires, and I just didn't want to spend the money. You think he'd look at me and say, I understand, Dad. I understand. You think? I thought, I don't want to take that risk. I'm gonna change the tires, pay the money, because I don't. Imagine the day after that Passover. For a grieving mother or father. Boy, I wish Dad had done that. Wish Dad had done that. Well, the people of Israel killed the lamb, put the blood on the doorpost, and Pharaoh said, get out of here. I've had enough. Get out. Get out. And after 400 years of bondage, the children of Israel, the gates were opened, and they were on their way. But if you know the story at all, they left with a bit of fanfare. Can you imagine the celebration? 400 years of bondage, of difficult, difficult life. And now they're on their way out the city. They're on their way out the city. And while they're going out the city, you know what happened? It was like going to Costco with several shopping carts and everything's free. Because as they went out of the city, the people of Egypt, they so wanted them gone. It records for us that in their celebration on the way out, whatever they wanted, they were free to take. So they saw gold. They said, yeah, I'd like that necklace. And they saw silver and they said, I'd like that. And they saw whatever they wanted. What a celebration that must have been. All these years, so poor, so mistreated, and now the gates are open, and they're on their way out, and as much as they could carry, they could take whatever they wanted. Oh, man. And the celebration must have been so significant. And now God says, you celebrate this every year. Now I thought to myself, why did God want them to do this? Why was this so important to God? Let me give you a couple of ideas. One of the ideas I had was that every time they would celebrate this, they would have to remember that God did it. Moses didn't do it. Aaron didn't do it. God did it. No mistaking. None at all. Notice chapter 13. Chapter 13, verse 8. On that day you tell your son, I do this annual celebration because of what the Lord did for me. It was to keep their focus on God. How could they ever forget that? How could they ever forget that? That's why I think it was so important to God. Chapter 15. This is a very well-known song of Moses and Miriam. Chapter 15, verse 11. I love this verse. They sang this. Who among the gods is like you, O Lord? Who is like you? Majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders. There's no one like you. Every time you celebrate this, it helps to keep your focus on God. Second reason, I think, is to pass this on to future generations. Every year, when you celebrate this, and your son or your daughter, somebody says, why do you do this? Why do you do this? You tell them, you pass this on, you pass this on. When children are young, we celebrate Easter every year, every year. Do young children understand? No, but you celebrate it, get it ingrained in their thinking, and as they get older, you explain it to them. This is what happened. This is why this is important. We pass it on to future generations. Chapter 13, verse 14. Look at this again. In the days to come, When your son asks you, what does this mean? What does this mean? You say to him, with a mighty hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. When your children ask, pass it on, pass it on. I hope you have things in your life and in your family that you are passing on to the next generation. And to help us do that, there's a couple things. One is, we celebrate when technology works. Can you advance that for me then, please? Thank you. The importance of visuals. The importance of visuals. There's something about seeing that helps us. Okay? I've had the privilege of traveling to Israel. I didn't really get a lot of new information, if you will, but I saw things. I literally saw the River Jordan. There's something about seeing, okay? And Moses, God told the people, you it's like a sign on your forehead, okay? The importance of visuals. And we have examples of visuals today, right? I wear a wedding ring. How often do you think I see my own hand? Yeah, all the time. Why do we? It's a visual. It's a visual reminder. We celebrate with a bread and a cup on a regular basis. That visual is to remind us of what's important. After a good rain sometimes, or when we see this thing in the cloud, right? Right? Rainbow, right? It's to remind us. Today we see flags all across our land. It's a visual. We see a visual behind me, don't we? It's there every time we're here. It's to remind us. Visuals are great reminders, okay? And then we have the importance of statements, creeds, words. I know your pastor has talked to you about the importance of words, okay? So in the Old Testament, when God gave them the law, every day the Israelites would repeat this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Repeat that, repeat that. The importance of stating the truth. And God said, write it like on your forehead as a sign and have the law on your lips. Speak it regularly. I think we need to look at our lives and look at our families and say, what am I doing with visuals and with statements? So important. So important. I know recently Pastor Ben gave you an illustration about a statement in their evening bedtime routine, right? What's your name? Who are you? Statements. You can do that to take what's important to pass on to the next generation and to others. Well, you know that they went out of Egypt. They went in celebration, taking anything and everything they wanted, and they all lived happily ever after, end of story, right? No, I want to talk to you about a short memory. A short memory. They get out of Egypt. Turn to chapter 14. And they get out of Egypt and they're about to camp, and right ahead of them is the Red Sea. And they turn around and they look back, and what do they see? Pharaoh's army. And what's their response to that? What a foolish thing to do. Our God is so great. Who is like him? There's no one like him. Don't worry. No problem. God will protect us. God is at work, right? That was their response, right? No. It says they were terrified. How could they forget so quickly? How is that possible? It wasn't forget in terms of memory loss. But that's what fear does. That's what feeling out of control does to us. What they had just experienced now, they can't translate into the present. We got married 45 years ago. We don't celebrate every day. There's something emotionally, the routines of life, the normal things they set in, and then we have a tendency to kind of have a short memory. We made vows, we made commitments, and then we begin to take each other for granted, and the impact initially wears off and things can be taken for granted. When that child is born, right? Boy, the joy and the thrill of, and then you go home. And then they become toddlers and we forget. They forgot how they had sung, "Who among the gods is like you?" And then I don't have time, but in chapter 16, they distort the past and they say, "Oh man, if we only could go back. Gosh, we don't have any food out here. Oh, why didn't you just let us die in Egypt?" Boy, they forget so quickly. God took care of them and provided the manna. And then shortly after that, it happens again. "We don't have any water," and they grumble and they complain against Moses. How does this happen? Not once, not twice, multiple times. And it's not a memory loss, but there's something in the present, a need or a crisis, and we don't remember what God has done, what God could do, and how God wants to work. And all of us are vulnerable to forgetting. That's why I want to talk to you mostly about the re-celebration. Getting through the forgetting stuff and remembering again, or re-celebrating. Re-celebrating. You know the story in Luke 15, right? This parable that Jesus told, a man who had two sons. And the one son decided to be a wayward son and a prodigal son, and he leaves. But you know that father had multiple times of celebration during the course of his life with the two boys and all that went on and the success that he'd experienced. But the son leaves. And then the son comes to his senses and he comes back. And you remember the father's response? "We had to celebrate. We had to celebrate." But not everyone was willing to celebrate. The focus of that story is on the older brother who won't celebrate, doesn't appreciate what's transpired. How do we keep the significant, important things in our lives fresh? How do we keep them fresh that we don't forget? Well, I have a couple suggestions. One is, thank you, please. We have periodic celebrations. I don't have the emotional wherewithal over the course of our years of marriage, to leave in the morning to go to the office and say to my wife and look her in the eye and say, you know, today could be the last day. We never know what could happen today. Today could be the last day that we ever, until we meet in heaven again. Today, we can't deal with that every day. But we need periodic, planned celebrations. So we have birthdays. We have anniversaries. We have a regular thing here called communion. It's a celebration, and it's to help us to remind us of what's important and to see the visual, the bread and the cup, and to make the statements, take this, do this in remembrance of me. So important. Birthdays, special occasions, Sunday worship. But then we also have the unexpecteds in life, the things we don't plan, the things that are beyond our control, and they cause us to remember. They remind us of how important. All of a sudden there's a medical thing and one of our kids, and it's like, oh, yeah, boy, if we'd have lost, you're that's what crises do to us. Interesting. The planned periodic celebrations are within our control, right? But the unplanned, they're not within our control. But they often cause us to remember. I got to wrap this up. We need balance. We can't live on the emotional edge every day. But we don't want to forget. We don't want to forget. We need balance in our lives. And we need to make choices to see the positives. Don't ignore the negatives, but see the positives. I know that Pastor Jack has decided to make a change in his life. How many of you want your fellow believers to pursue the will of God for their life and to do what God wants them to do? How many of you want that? Look at the positive and rejoice and celebrate Pastor Jack and his wife's decision. Don't just say, poor. You need balance. You need balance. You should celebrate, believing that God is at work. Be grateful for his contribution, for the relationship, for the experiences. This weekend is the celebration of the founding of our country. Is our country perfect? No. No. But this 250th celebration, we acknowledge our freedom, the opportunity to pursue happiness, to speak our minds, to choose where and when we practice our faith, to travel freely. Celebrate that. Celebrate that. Let me give you an application today. Who or what can you celebrate today? Who or what can you choose to celebrate today? Now, it'd be easy for me to follow through and do this. I appreciate you. So I could go to Jane today. We just had our anniversary, so I've kind of verbalized. But I appreciate. Go to somebody who doesn't expect it. Find somebody you appreciate and celebrate them by simply saying, I appreciate you. I appreciate you because. Not because of what you do, because of who you are and how God has used you in my life. I want to ask you today as an application, could you find two people this week, to just tell them you appreciate them? Now, let me just double check. How many people in this room want to know that they're appreciated? How many of you want to be, You know, here's the thing I thought of this week. Who wants to celebrate? Who wants to be celebrated? Brought back a song to me from many years ago. Jesus is the rock of my salvation. His banner over me is love. God celebrates me. We all want to be celebrated. Know that God loves you. God cares. His banner over me is love. Thank you, Father, for your goodness today. Thank you that we have reasons to celebrate. And I pray that each of us would even decide right now. Here's a couple of people. It could be more than two, but here's at least two people that I wanna just say to them sometime this week, I appreciate you. God, we all want to celebrate because we want good things to happen in our lives, but we also all want to be celebrated. And I believe that you celebrate over those who have given their lives to you and are your children. We praise you for that today in Christ's name.